in the immortal words of Joey D. Papa Jibo, Papa Papa Jibo. Don't mind me, I'm just doing the Piggly Wiggly. Oh, let's do the Jelly Belly. I'm walking. Yes, indeed, I'm talking about you and me, and I'm hoping that you come back to me. I'm lonely as I can be, and I'm waiting for your company, and I'm hoping that you come back to me. What you gonna do when the well runs dry? You gonna sit right down and cry? What you gonna do when I say bye-bye? All you gonna do is dry your eye. I'm walking. Yes, indeed, I'm talking about you and me, and I'm hoping that you come back to me. I got young Steve on my shoulders. I'm giving him a piggyback ride. Hang on, low bridge. Get your hands off my forehead, son. Balance yourself. All right, down you go. Yeah, that was fun, wasn't it? I give young Steve piggyback rides every now and then. Because he's been so good. Oh, but you're getting heavy. You're getting heavy. Man, it's 20 minutes after 8 o'clock. Yeah, you're growing. You're growing more each and every day. Been growing more and more each and every day. Ooh, 20 minutes after 8 o'clock with the grease. She said no. I said, lady, this is a gas station. I don't clean fish. I know how to do it, though. She smiled. She said, you're such a child, aren't you? I said, I ain't no child. Hell, I'm 17. She said, well, if you're 17, it's about time you check the bearded clown. I was all disconcerted. Mr. Forrester, the man that owned the service station, was gone. He left me in charge, and I had this crazy lady sitting there. Finally, the pump handle clicked, and I went around, topped off the tank, put the gas cap on, and said, that'd be $7.50. That's all it cost to fill a tank back in those days was $7.50.
Stop it!
She said, you ain't done yet, boy.
I said, well, I done checked the oil. I done checked the transmission fluid, lady. I done washed your windshield.
She said, well, I asked you to check the bearded clown for me now. This is a full service station, ain't it?
I said, yes, ma'am, it is.
She said, and get this car now, boy.
I said, all right, I'll check it for you, ma'am. Where is the glove compartment?
See, she didn't know there ain't no glove compartment.
I said, the back seat, what, you got a cooler in the back seat?
She said, you ain't getting in that back seat, boy.
I said, well, ma'am, if you can make your intentions clear, because I'm really so confused, I don't know what the hell you're talking about. Oof. Lady, you crazy.
She said, get out of the car.
I said,
I mean, she opened the door and put her foot in my butt. Bam, I ended out on the ground.
I stood up. My eyes was all fuzzy. My head was spinning. I just kind of staggered my way back to the office. Mr. Forrester was standing there with his hands on his hips. He said, boy, you crazy. Didn't you know you had a pump handle out just to pump and gas onto the ground? I had to hit the emergency shutoff. Can't you smell it? I said, no, sir, I can't smell much anything right now.
It's the Grease Man Show.
Oh, Neller!
On DC 101.
DC 101. You ready for a little? I got it. Oh, it just hit me like a ton of bricks, Lord, Lord. It hit me like a ton of bricks. It went boom, 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 boom. 25 minutes before 9 o'clock with the Grease Man. We're having fun here at the Mega Mother. Having fun. Uh-oh, is it that time again?
Welcome to Blasterpiece Theater with your host, Sylvester Stallone.
I would like to read you a special story that as a child always had me misty-eyed. It's the story of the mighty Casey at the Bat. The town of Mudville was losing the game. They were down. And that was Casey's fame. Bases were loaded. Two men were out. Out of the park! The fans did shout. The pitcher threw. And Casey swung. Swoosh. Strike one. But they all knew that with Casey there, he'd hit the ball to the frickin' World's Fair. The pitcher wound, the pitcher threw. Whoosh, he swung and I strike two. Casey spat, his armpits reeked. But for fans in Muddenville, it sure looked bleak. Once again, the pitcher threw. He threw as hard as he could. No one, if it could be hit, Casey would. His mighty bat came round and round. But from the catcher's mitt, they heard the sound. Ashamed of it all, he wanted to flee. The mighty Casey had strike three. He walked to the dugout with his head hung low. All the booing fans he knew he'd show. He tipped his cap and went to the bench. The ball girl was there. He'd already stooped the wench. He opened his sack that held the bats and the balls. He listened to the fans, derisive calls. While there was great sadness in Mudville today, Casey stepped out of the dugout and blew them all away. Except for the back girl, he gave her a grenade, said, here, hold this a second, will ya?
Grease Man on DC 101.
Under the collar, remember, your mama is good enough for me. Your mama is looking good for me.
Estelle and I were hobbling. Everything was going fine. It was a little gobbledygee, and man, it was sublime. I really was a poppin' her doodads. My doodads against her chin. Here's what I screamed when her braces hooked some skin.
Your mama is good enough for me. Your mama is looking good to me.
Well, I was there in the doctor's office. His checkup time was here. He said it's time to inspect that prostate. Please present your rear. As the doctor glummed up, he said this won't hurt a bit. Yeah, but when he buried his fist, I mean, I nearly had a fit. I screamed, "Your mama! Oh, your mama! Your mama is good enough for me. Hola, hola! Your mama! Your mama! Your mama is looking good to me." Well, I was sitting in the movie theater, really enjoying the show, when the fat dame next to me said, "Excuse me, sir, I gotta go." Well, as she swung through the aisle, her bun was in my face. When she let go an SBD, hell, it burned me worse than mace. I screamed, "Your mama! Your mama! Your mama was good enough for me.
Oba, oba!
Your mama! Your mama! Your mama was good enough for me.
Oba,
oba!" It's about a minute before 9 o'clock here at the Mega Mova. All right, keep track of those bits. Sometime in the 9 o'clock hour, I'm going to say, dial that thing, see, I bet you can dial that thing, see, I see. In here, because I'm liable to hurt somebody when I flail my arms when I sing. When you come to the live show, you'll see the weight in my arm just flail around, especially when I'm singing about a stand. We were standing there in the courtroom. Yeah, I remember Estelle and mine's divorce. It was double nasty, of course. Lawyers were cursing. Lawyers were spitting. We were fighting. We were bitten. The judge said, "Can I ask your face? Would you marry that hog born face, please?" Huh? "Oh, baby, I'm a redneck. Yeah, damn it, I'm a redneck. Oh, baby, I'm a redneck. Can't help it, I'm a redneck. Oh, baby, I'm a redneck. Can't help it, I'm a redneck." The judge said, "Look, she's got tatas that hang to her hips. Got herpes all over her lips. She must have been one of the ugliest brides. Look, she got a tuggis 3 feet wide. She spits it while she's speaking. And smell her armpits, how they're reeking." I said, "I know you're on. I said, I know you're on. She suffers from unbelievable hogitis. That's why we're here. I mean, and you don't know the half of it. I mean, that's just what you see her standing there in front of you. But let me tell you, at the house, it's worse. I mean, when you're hobbling, you need a funnel, because that thing is wider than the Arnold Tunnel. Estelle, drop trowel if you don't mind. Show the judge the boils on your behind. Check that out, Your Honor. Ain't you amazed? Look at the shines of those dingles on the old Bob Hayes. Oh, baby, I'm a redneck. He said, "Well, young man, you're a fine young hunk. When you married her, you must have been drunk. What were you thinking when you said I do? Were you that hired up for a hop of the goo? Anyway, the divorce is granted. Now go out there and get them hydraulics firmly implanted. Oh, baby, I'm a redneck. Can't help it, I'm a redneck. Oh, baby, I'm a redneck. Can't help it, I'm a redneck. Oh, baby, I'm a redneck. It is so very sweet. Man, it's 9 minutes before 10 o'clock. The Grease 4321111. I can squeeze in a couple of calls before I have to blast. Good morning.
Hello, Grease.
Yeah, buddy.
How you doing?
Very well, thanks.
Hey.
What's up with you?
GP66.
That's it. 101. Good morning.
Good morning, Grease.
Yeah.
How you doing? I'm a man, buddy.
Hey, you getting through another stinking Monday?
Yes. Matter of fact, no problem. Actually, it was an easy day. We were laughing, cutting up, tearing it up, swapping stories, parking with people on the blow. What?
All right, way to go, buddy. The reason I'm calling is I'd like to make a song request if you could fit it in, or YDB could fit it in.
Sure.
Okay, I'd like to play Hang On Sloopy by McCoy.
Maybe I'll put that on the selection from the Grease Collection one morning. What do you think, huh?
Well, couldn't you do it now? Because I'm...
You're hungry now? All right, yeah. I'll do my rootin' tootin' this. I'll do my rootin' tootin' this. I'll do my rootin' tootin' this for you. Hello.
Grease.
Yes.
This is Cam from Burnsville.
What can I do for you, buddy?
For one, I got a new character for you, and I also got a new grip.
What's the grip?
The grip is the Snap-on Toolman grip.
Yeah.
Just take a little bit of that GP60.
Oh, but you stop with this already. 101, hello.
Smell like a hog.
Yeah, but I like that way. It brings me back to nature. Hello.
Good morning, Grease Man.
Good morning.
This is Mandy. I talked to you a few days ago about the lawman and the date and all, and you told me to call you back.
The lawman, oh, that's right, the lawman. To refresh our memory, this lady was driving along, and a lawman stopped her because she was swerving over the road laughing to something wacky that was happening on the Greaseman show one morning. She then, explaining this to the lawman, he leaned in the car, and he continued to laugh with her as the bit continued. After the laughter subsided and they dabbed their eyes, he said, "Hey, how about a date?"
Uh-huh. Right?
And you went out on a date. When was it, Friday night?
Friday night.
Where did he take you?
First we went out to that flagship down there on the wharf.
Oh, nice, yeah.
Oh, that was beautiful. Candlelight and all.
Yeah, and then?
And then we went down. We were walking around a monument.
Uh-huh.
Talking and seeing how much we had in common, which was an awful lot.
Uh-huh.
And it was just wonderful.
And then back to his place?
Huh? Back to my place.
Back to your place. Bottom knocking?
I don't kiss and tell.
Well, come on. This is, we're all friends here.
No, absolutely not. We didn't.
Oh, come on.
Nah.
Did he put the moves on you?
Oh, yeah.
He got back in. What'd you offer him when he got in? You said, would you like a little cognac or something?
Oh, yeah.
And he had a drink, right? And he thought, ooh, this is it. I am there. I am there.
It was sweet.
And you sat down on the couch.
Uh-huh.
And you talked a little bit more.
Yeah.
And then you kissed. And it was a hungry kiss, too, wasn't it?
Absolutely starving.
It was like the two of you clawed. And then he clawed at you when you pushed him away. You said, please don't.
Well, sort of like that.
Let's not ruin the night. Ruin it, he said. I want to make it better. He said, please, it's just not time. It's too far, too fast, too soon. But he was a man driven. You could see his desire. His cheeks were flushed. All night he had spent looking at you hungrily. And now, at last, the moment of truth. And you said, no, please.
It was a mutual thing.
It was?
Yeah.
What did he say?
Just a little longer. We'll have to linger a little longer before you go diving into it, so to speak.
Nah, he was just making him believe him. If you had said, but on second thought, come on. He said, okay. Yeah. So when's the next date?
Oh, it's this Friday night.
This Friday night?
Mm-hmm.
Well, what do you think? Will this Friday night be the...
Oh, I think so.
The conquest?
Yeah.
So this is, you mean you're just a two-date stop.
I am looking for... what?
I'm only kidding.
I'm really looking forward to it. He's a real nice guy. He's got about the same kind of humor that you've got.
Well, he's a lawman, you know. How old is he?
34, I think he is.
34, yeah. He's been on the force probably, 8-9 years? Huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's a grizzled vet or on his way to becoming one.
Yeah, he's a sergeant already.
Yeah, and he's bulky, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, so you know that Friday night's going to be the night. Buddy, if you're listening, put the clean underwear on this Friday. He looks like
he did mumble something about he'd already put clean underwear on.
Well, good. Well, he's coming Friday. Would you be upset if he brought his overnight kit?
No.
Because,
not at all.
You know, rather than just try to, you know, not to seem self-assured, you know, he ends up leaving his toothbrush and everything in the car, so he doesn't want to seem like he's too sure of himself. So you can say, hey, bring your suitcase in. You're staying tonight.
Yeah.
Huh?
I wouldn't mind that.
All right, so bye there. Well, all right, it's a happy ending then, huh?
Oh, thank you so much.
Yeah,
just for being there.
Just for being a man.
Yeah.
Well, let me know how next Friday goes, okay?
Okay.
And we'll find out more on the lawman and his lady. The sweet story of
bliss. Absolutely.
All right, DC 101, it's something to shout about.
Now let you just drop them pants.
All right, thank you so much, and we'll see you at the next lecture.
A Bell Atlantic report from the business front.
Famous lines. Got a live one here, Lewis. Yeah. Yeah, old Ned. So jaunty throughout the whole movie. So jaunty. Always with snide remarks. So what about that first series of rapids Ned ran through? Hey, we beat it, we beat it, we beat it. And Bert just rolled that cigar in his mouth and said, you don't beat the river. Huh? Oh, so prophetic, kid. Yeah. When they were covering up the body, I don't want any part of it. You are part of it. Those were the classic lines. You know, beyond just the scene, there were a number of other lines in there. A number of other lines worthy of exploration. 19 minutes before 9 o'clock, the grease in charge. Yeah, let's talk about my daddy! As you know, Daddy and I were involved in a semi-unsavory liaison with Velma Buckles and Trixie Hicks. The problem we had was everybody was married except me. Daddy was married to Mama. Velma Buckles had a husband. And Trixie Hicks had a husband. So I had to act as the go-between. When we wanted to get together, what I'd do is I'd show up at Velma Buckles' house and make believe I was a student in her photography class. I'd have my camera, and I'd ring the doorbell. I'd say, oh, hi, Mr. Buckles. I'm here to pick up Velma. We have an assignment at the park. We're going to take pictures for a couple hours. He'd say, oh, that's right. Velma told me about that class. You come on in. Velma, your student friend is here. And sure enough, we'd go off, and I'd have Velma in the car. Then, in order to go get Trixie Hicks out of the house, I had to make believe I was her gay hairdresser come by to bring her to the salon. So I'd ring that doorbell and say, hi. My name's Ramon. I'm here for Trixie. Oh, Trixie, what have you done to your roots? And her husband would say, oh, that, don't you let that Ramon get too close to you now. He looks nasty. So then I'd get her in the car. Then I'd have to go home to get Daddy out of the house and say, Mama, I wonder if I could borrow Daddy for a while. I need to work on my swing, and Daddy's got hits the longest softball anybody. Could I take him down? So I'd get him out of the house. And then we all four of us would go to the No-Tell Motel for some bottom knockers. Well, one time I just got screwed up. And I showed up at Velma Buckles' house as the gay hairdresser. Hi there, I'm Ramon. Ready to pick up Velma? I showed up at Trixie Hicks's as the photographer. And I picked up Daddy to play softball, and it was raining like hell. So now all three spouses are very suspicious, and they follow us. Sure enough, they caught sight of the old Biscayne turning the corner, and they saw us walking into the No-Tell Motel. There was a lot of voices raised. We could hear a commotion out at the front desk as the husband was trying to shake the desk clerk to find out what room we was in. Finally, they throttled him enough, so he told them. And they all started a-coming toward the room. Trixie's her husband, Velma's husband, and Mama. Daddy went pale. He said, son, I knew this was going to happen one day. I just knew it. That's why I'm prepared. He took out a suitcase that had a baseball bat and a butcher knife in it. I said, what the hell are you going to do with that? He said, I'm going to hold him back with the baseball bat while I'm stabbing myself with the butcher knife.
Changing the way Washington talks, it's the Grease Man.
A little tuna fish.
On DC 101.
Clinton cycles, Clinton cycles.
All right, easy, Mikey Irving, Sam. We are the guys that eat no ham. To lie, L'chaim. L'chaim, L'chaim, to lie. Sing it, Carol, a little shiksa wanting to be enlightened, so that maybe, just maybe, she can find that tribesman to make an honest woman out of her. You ever heard of a flegal?
A flegal?
No, flegal.
Uh-uh.
That's the wang from a chicken. Yeah, a flegal. Yeah, say it.
Flegal.
Flegal. Now say it with a little pizzazz. Flegal.
Flegal.
Yeah. No, you say you're saying it too pert. Flegal.
Flegal.
Yeah, you go. Yeah, say it loud. Flegal.
Flegal.
Yeah, you go. So the next time you're standing there at the fried chicken place, and the guy behind the counter says, what's it going to be? White meat, dark meat? You say, give me a...
Flegal.
Not flegal. Flegal.
Flegal.
Yeah, all right, Cavill. You're a tribeswoman for a day, okay?
Okay.
Good luck.
Thanks.
You bet. 101, good morning.
Hey, Grease.
Yeah, buddy.
Hey, what's up?
I'm a man.
Hey. Mm-hmm. Me and my wife here got a problem with you.
Oh, no.
Yeah, we're home together. It's our anniversary. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to listen to the radio, and she won't turn up the TV.
Well, where's the discipline?
Where's the discipline? Well, I just turned it very a little louder, trying to.
Yeah, but no, that's not the way. That's not the way to do it.
Oh.
Well, why don't you just? I mean, she doesn't find me entertaining. Is that the problem? Obviously.
That's the fact.
Is that hitting
her
on?
Her in the car too. She does the same thing. She's pushed the button.
No, now that's what next. I tell you how that's got to work. Next time you drive and she reaches to push the button, you grab hold of her and say, "You put that hand out again. I'm gonna break your wrist."
Break her wrist.
Yeah. Now when she's driving, she chooses the station. When you drive it, you choose the station. All right.
But, you know, in the morning, you only on for a couple of hours. I don't see why she can't sit there and listen to you.
She might learn something, huh?
Yeah.
She might learn something. What'd you marry a woman like that for? That ain't got the same sense of humor as you. How'd you get talked into that maneuver?
I didn't get talked into it. Something I wanted to do.
It was something you wanted to do.
Yep.
And how long you been married?
2 years today.
And isn't marriage grand? There she is, booming the TV in one room. There you are in another room, booming the radio.
That's right.
Yeah. Are you happy? You look back. Are you glad you made that decision?
Sure am.
Are you?
Yeah.
You got kids?
No, not yet.
Yeah.
We're trying, though, I guess.
You guess?
Yeah.
Well, feel. You glistening or not? Yeah, yeah, a man knows a thing like that, now don't he? Huh?
Yep.
Yeah, well, I think you ought to just, maybe if you asked her real nice to listen 1 hour and you explained all the goings-on, maybe she'd smile, and before you know it, she'd giggle. Before you know that, she'd guffaw.
Every now and then, we listen to her, we have a fight and all. I said, listen to him. And then I got to enlighten her on your
and the goings on.
Here.
And then what happens? You have a fight over it?
No. She goes, I don't understand.
You don't understand? Well, yeah. You say, let me tell you something. You listen here. Open your skull and listen to what I'm saying to you. And then you explain everything.
Well, she's in there listening to you now.
Is she?
Yeah, she's on the floor.
Is she? What's she doing on the floor?
She's looking through some magazine to spend some more money.
Yeah, get your stinking butt off the floor, woman! Hey, I want to see your fuckers perpendicular. And in front of that radio, sitting there with your back straight, your hands resting on your knees, listening to your husband explain the goings on so you can be a part of the ring-dang-duel. Is she moving or is she just lying there?
Yeah.
She just lying there like a big dog,
that's
huh?
That's right. Well, that's all right. Hey, can you do me a favor?
Mm.
Me and my brother are going up bear hunting about 2 weeks up in Canada. Can you get on that?
Me here, bear hunting?
Yeah, we're going with the bow and arrow.
Oh, man, now you talking.
Bold.
You know how you hunt down polar bear?
How you hunt polar bear?
Yeah, man, you don't even need a bow and arrow. Yeah, what you do is you get up to a frozen lake up there. It's one of them is frozen solid.
Uh-huh.
And then you cut a hole in the ice.
Uh-huh.
Cut you a hole like they do with those fishermen do, you know, but this is a bigger one.